and welcome to Bagel Tech Astrology, the show where we predict things that never come true. And I'm here with a great panel to take the piss out of Will Green, who's not here, unfortunately, because his wife's not well. Do get well soon, Vic. I'm surprised you're not sicker more often with a husband like Will, but there we go. Joining me, the snotty Dom McAllister.
Oh, he's steady on. Well, a bit bunged up. That's about it.
Frustrated.
Yeah, well, we saw Lion come out. I know we'll talk tons about Lion, but I thought I had a show already planned for today and it's all recorded. All I need to do is push the button. But then I thought, no, I really need to do something about Lion. So I thought I'd record a quick installation show and started that this morning. And it's all gone pear-shaped with my voice and my tubes and then my machine's playing up on me as well. But it'll be out today, but I don't know what it mightn't be up to the usual standards.
No, but we'll see. That's the thing with me. I try and do something. Oh, I'll just, and before you know it, 2 days have disappeared out of time because it's never gone right, and I'm trying to recover emails and God knows what. Next to him, we've got Carl Swagger from the Philippines, where it's sticky and humid.
Very much so. Loving Windows 7, just so you know.
Yeah, because your Mac's crapped out by trying to put Lion on as well. Oh, it just works. That's what we need. Yeah. Fantastic. Below him, the only person that knows what to do with a computer properly by what it seems so far today, it's Dr. Happy Mac. Hello, mate.
Hello. I can report 100% no issues with my computer today.
Well, you didn't put Lion on then?
Yeah, it's running Lion.
Oh, it is?
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Well done.
Yeah, tell us your secret, please.
Well, he knows what he's doing.
I've noticed nobody on the internet has mentioned Lion server at all. It's not. It's like, oh, that happened.
No. Oh well. I'd love to have a go, but I just know that my desk won't work and things like that. And there's no drivers listed or stuff. So never mind. How does it feel to be 20 quid lighter?
Yeah, I'm never believing anything that Will Green said again in my life. I feel betrayed and violated.
I'm never believing anything you say because you said bloody August.
Oh yeah.
Oh, yeah. I've conveniently forgotten that bit. And next to him, manfully at the last minute, standing in for Will Green. Thank you ever so much. Alex Fox.
Oh, yeah. Still 217 for three. So you might not get my full attention.
217 for three was good after yesterday's start. It looked a bit slow, it has to be said. Right, the week in Apple. Quite a lot happened this week, it has to be said as well, because there was the earnings call on the Tuesday, just after we'd done the LMUG event, and things are going rather well for Apple, it would seem. $76 billion in the bank. The bank probably has lent most of that out, though, on small mortgages, and it won't be able to get it back, so do be careful. It's probably under a Cupertino mattress somewhere. There's also... they've taken over Nokia for the number one phone seller in the world, and Nokia have posted a $323 million loss, which is probably not a lot, really, in global terms for them. And we had new hardware, cinema displays as predicted, and Airs as predicted, and Mac Minis as predicted by Andrew. So you did get one prediction right, mate. Well done.
Two predictions right.
Oh, go on. What was the second?
I predicted that the MacBook would die.
Okay, it did, yes. It's the white dog turd of computers is now no more. So if you want an entry-level Mac, it's going to have to be a Mac Mini and an Air.
You know, just on the killing of the MacBook and the Air.
Yes.
I was chatting about this only yesterday evening, and it's a brilliant move. You know, when they killed the MacBook, I was thinking, oh, it's a shame. It's a good introductory Mac. But you know what? It's an introductory computer. It was the bottom of the line, and it wasn't that quick. And when you worked on it, if it was your first Mac, you fired it up, and it kind of rolled along, and you went, oh, yeah, OS 10, that's quite nice. It's quite exciting. It's not the fastest machine in the world. It's okay. Obviously, now it's gone. Apple are saying, if you don't want a computer, your entry level into the world of Apple is the iPad, which people love anyway.
Mm.
Or at £849, your entry level price, the first Mac and the first experience that a lot of people will get with Apple and OS X is the 11-inch MacBook Air with SSD. And Jesus, there's nothing in the Windows side that can touch that thing when you fire it up and it just bang, into Lion, bang, everything opens. It's like Apple has turned an entry-level machine that people will go, meh, yeah, it works, into an entry-level machine that people will go, Jesus Christ, this is fantastic.
Well, is that the point then? The MacBook Air is now effectively starting up like an iPad, functioning like an iPad, running like an iPad, interfacing like an iPad, and the transition for £300. Because the other thing I think is as well, haven't the prices come down a little?
Yeah. No, the Air's the same price, isn't it?
$849 for an entry-level Air. But
the processor, dual-core i5, SSD, it's as an entry machine, people are going to buy that. They're going to come from their Sony Vios, from their Windows notebooks, and they're going to be just absolutely gobsmacked at how fast OS X is. I think, I thought that I could see why Apple were bidding the MacBook, and I could see why they did it and why it had to go. But I think it's a masterstroke. I think that they've got two entries into the world of Apple that absolutely gobsmack people whichever way they go. And I think, I think it's a genius. Genius it is.
Not wishing to contradict you, Andrew, you can still get the white MacBook, but only for educational establishments.
Yeah, but in effect.
And the question I've got, the chat room is saying the same price as I am, $529 for a Mac Mini. I've got a feeling, is that £70 cheaper? Wasn't the entry level $599?
The Mac Mini's cheaper.
Mac Mini's £70 cheaper now with an increased spec. It's got the i5 processor in, and it's still got the same crappy...
And no optical drive.
And no optical drive at all. So that's where they've saved some money, most definitely. Yep. You've got an interface, though, to add a second one if you want it, which is good.
Yeah.
Don, what you were umming and ahhing over the Air and deciding whether you fancied it or not. Anything changed now you've had a day to sleep on it?
I'm erring on the side of caution. I did say that as soon as the Air came out with the backlit display, that would be it for me because I really miss my backlit display. But to be honest, the Air that I've got now is fine. So what I thought I'd do is just wait until the new Mac Pros come out and we can see the whole range and then make my decision. I probably will go. My good feeling is that I need to go with the 11 inch now because I've got the 13 inch. And although it's a great machine and it's lovely to work on, there's just been some instances where, although it's very portable, I could have done with the 11 inch to make it a bit more portable. So if I do go down that road, which I probably will, I'll probably go and get the 11 inch, to be honest.
Dude, you collect Macs like they're baseball cards.
I mean, I try to make sure they have good homes. I mean, the kids are well provided for,
Well, you expect the kids in the street are well provided for, no?
Oh, by the way, I'd just like to point out as well, before we move away from the Lion launch date, that someone did get it spot on and got it spot on about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I have to say.
Yes. Well, I played back when I was editing the LMUG event the other night, and you were crystal clear on the date. You said 20th, and you did say 20th a few weeks back.
I did.
Well, they listened to you, clearly.
Oh, well, there you go. Well, it was nice of them to wait until I came back off my holiday anyway, so that was it.
So Andrew's gushing about the hardware, and and Don's pretty much gushing about the hardware and willing to part with some cash. What about the rest of us, Kyle and Alex?
Well, the software's quite good. I mean, I really didn't think I'd be able to say that, but I've put Lion on a MacBook Pro, and I haven't broken it.
Wow.
I know.
Everything runs?
And funny enough, we had a chat where there was one piece of software that I had an issue with, and Lion went and got the updates for it and fixed it, which was actually, I was sitting there thinking, this is really very, very, very clever. I mean, as for a new operating system, it functions like it's an upgrade. It doesn't really function to me like I'm sure there's loads of things under the bonnet that I can't see, but it functions just like an upgrade. But you know what? It's turned my slightly dogged, because it was full of rubbish, MacBook Pro into, as your favourite saying, slick as snot.
Thanks, mate. Now, Kyle, on the opposite side of the world, has the opposite view, it would seem.
Yeah, what's, I'm just gushing.
What's going wrong?
Everything.
You can't even slim it down.
No. Yesterday I was sitting, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to stay on snow. It's purring right along. Loving it. And then it's like you start reading everything on Twitter. I seen you. I said, don't feel bad. I'm not going to upgrade. And then you start seeing everything. Yeah, it's so great. And it's this and that. And then, it's really it's the wallpaper that just made me want to go, okay. So I went, yep, we're going to do it. Going to do it. I spent all afternoon trying to redo it and undo it, and I don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah. So, I mean, is this like a Will Green recommendation? Everyone on saying it, no, it's absolutely stunning. And in a week, they'll all be going, I can't get the damn thing off. It's like like shit on fur.
No. I don't think it's that. It is because It's because of things that we use. I mean, I put it on a computer that I use to record on, that I use as an everyday work tool, which is probably the most gutting thing about it right now. But as far as the interface, as far as how it performs, as far as how it looks, as far as it is, it's slick as snot. It looks beautiful. I love the integration that we have with, you know, with everything now on it.
Now you're
that
using
being
it.
Said, I just can't use it. It's just a regular Mac computer to me right now.
How are we all finding the scrolling? Because that's tripped a lot of people up.
You know what? I found that if I forget that I'm using a Mac and I think that I'm using an iPad, I can do it perfectly. The moment I try and think Mac rather than iPad, I get upside down and inside out.
Yeah, I noticed a couple of people today were saying they got used to it. So that's kind of 2 days in.
Yeah, but when I go to use my other Macs, I'm like really confused. So I'm going to have to make a decision to either run them all upside down and inside out or none of them. Because going from one to another is really, really hard when you're trying to do things.
The question I've got, and I don't know the answer to this, is scrolling concurrent with all applications? It's in the OS itself, or is an application going to have to embrace it? Because I mean, I know things like versions, the application's got to embrace it. It's not a natural thing for the OS to control.
Yeah, no, it's a system level thing. So any application that scrolls will use the reverse scrolling.
Right.
But you can switch it off. I mean, I've seen a lot of people sort of try it and say, no, it's not for me, and switch it off. But I think you really do need to give it 2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
And it is difficult, as Alex says, if you're moving between machines that don't have the reverse scrolling. But you can actually get, I've seen there's a little menu bar utility that actually enables reverse scrolling on Snow Leopard. So that if you have got older machines that you want to, that you're not upgrading and you want to keep the reverse scrolling, you can actually install it on there and then sort of have reverse scrolling right around, you know, right across the board, which is quite neat.
Are you finding it?
You tell me, Don.
Pardon?
I said, damn, now you tell me that.
Andy, how are you getting on reverse scrolling?
I had a go for an hour or so, switched it off back to normal scrolling. And then this morning I'd heard so many people saying, oh yeah, I'm getting there, that I've switched it back over again. And I'm kind of agnostic at the moment. The only bit that I find that I have a problem with is that if I do forget it's just that if I forget which way it's scrolling, and I'll end up kind of frantically scrolling away like mad at the bottom of the screen, and it's going the wrong way, and the screen just bounces around until my brain filter kicks into gear, and I go, oh, reverse scrolling, and then I'm all right again. So I reckon I'll get it in a couple of days or weeks.
Has anyone... Go on, say Alex.
No, I was going to say, the best thing about the scrolling, and I did it by accident, and I knew that it was supposed to do this, it's just when you've got the open applications and you use, what is it, 4-finger swipe? Mm-hmm. 3-finger swipe. Mm-hmm. And you're flicking through them, and you're just, it's like just flicking through multiple screens. So whatever I've got open and running, I'm just flicking through them, and it's so much easier than, because I used to use whatever that was called, you know, when you press the button and they all drop down and you pick the one you want.
Exposer.
And I'm just flicking through five. I was just opening programs the other day, just yesterday, just to see how utterly easy it is to find what you want.
Now, the powerful boast here is that whatever programs you've got open, you don't need to close anything, isn't it? It doesn't sap your CPU cycles, as long as it's not actively processing anything.
Well, I haven't been able to, like I say, I haven't been able to slow this machine down yet, and I've normally broken them by now.
Yeah, it's quite a sea change, really, in that, and I think not a lot of people realise that with having the autosave and with having versions and with having the auto resume, so that if you do, you know, have multiple windows, you can actually get rid of them and then bring them back at a single. You know, if you close the application down, when you reopen the application, they will just pop back up. What I've started to do now is, rather than close applications, is to use the hide command, you know, command H, just to hide them. And then, you know, they're sort of always in memory, and they sort of reappear instantaneously. So, I think it's going to take a little while for people to get used to that sort of concept, because we're so used to saving files and closing applications.
Mm.
It's very iOS. You know, it is. I mean, it has brought this sort of experience with a mouse now to the desktop in a way. And because I haven't played with any of the before the release came out, any of the beta versions, shall we say. It's very iOS, and what I'm happy about, from what I've, other than the part of pissing me off about the recording aspect of my board, what I like about it is they have merged Mac and iOS, or OS X, should I say, and iOS, they've merged it very, very well, where I still feel if you're a diehard Mac fan and that's how you like it, you don't have to go that route if you really don't want to. But if you are of the new Apple consumer friendly person that bought an iPad, that has an iPhone, it gives you a whole new sort of dimension, a whole new way of looking at the Mac once again, and a lot more intuitive than it actually probably has previously been in the past.
So, Andrew, is this deep freezing of the open app, is it working well with the CPU? There's no drag on it, no load on it.
It seems to. I mean, I must say that my MacBook Pro is holds up much better. There's a bit of a lag if you restart the machine and it has to call everything back up again. You know, that can take a bit longer. And you get a bit frustrated trying to wait for all these apps that you forgot to close down to open back up again, and you don't actually want them open again. So there's a bit of there. But it's a kind of day-to-day system thing. I've got a little CPU monitor running along the top of my screen, and it doesn't seem to be troubled at all by having the stuff. Really, when it puts an app to sleep, it really does put it to bed quite efficiently.
Good. There's a couple of comments in the chat room here that the scrolling in reverse also works in Windows VMs if they're running. So even if you've got another OS running, it'll still imprint upon it. And the other one is that the scrolling seems to be very, very intuitive and natural if you're talking about Finder scrolling, but not so intuitive if you're talking about document scrolling. Is that fair?
That's probably a valid point.
Has anyone had any trouble with any applications not working? Because what I've seen is that when we had Snow Leopard, there was a big list of applications that would not function automatically with it. And I know there's a couple that aren't now, and I've gone on about Logic 8, and I'm not going to go on about it today. But everyone else is saying, oh, mine works, mine doesn't. Alex, you had problems with Sophos, but everyone else said Sophos worked just fine.
Yeah, I mean, I got a letter back from the guy at Sophos yesterday explaining what it was, and it was purely because of the version I was running needed to be updated, and Lion did it for me.
So, is there a consistent application failure, or is it individual setups that are causing the things to frig off? I mean, some of the comments in the chat room here about Dropbox, you know, one guy said Dropbox doesn't work, and then instantly 10 messages saying, no, mine's fine.
Yeah, mine's fine too. Yeah. I think it has a lot to do with what is actually plugged into your system, what does work, doesn't work. The audio mastering application they kind of tweeted out about from IK Multimedia, I was so worried because I heard it wasn't going to work. And I don't know, to heck, I'm going to try it. And it did work. I have no problems with it whatsoever. The one thing I didn't think I'd have any problems with was the mixing board. So it is hit and miss. I've noticed that too. But yeah, Dropbox is working just fine for me.
I mean, I've been critical of what doesn't work with the system and known about, but I think you've got to give credit to Apple that they haven't hit developers with the NDA saying you shouldn't be telling people what doesn't work ahead of time. So that information's filtered out very, very well. Lots of people know what's not going to work. And in terms of compatibility, this one seems more compatible than Snow Leopard did.
Yeah, I've got to agree with you there, because there was a whole list of applications with Leopard and Snow Leopard, and it took quite a while for people to actually move across. But it's been relatively few. I know some of the Adobe stuff is problematic. My big issue at the moment is Drobo, having a few problems with my Drobo Pro, in that it seems to work, but then after an hour or two, it seems to lose the connection, and so I'm having to sort of scratch my head about that. But the applications themselves, I've not really had any issues with any applications, I don't think. Everything's been pretty solid.
Have you got any odd folders or aliases on your Drobo, Don?
Have I got what, sorry?
Oh, no, because I would say a couple of my clients, or one of my clients in particular, was experimenting with putting their Dropbox folder on the Drobo.
Okay.
And they had the same issue, that it kicked the Drobo off every time that Dropbox tried to sync. And it does appear to be something to do with aliases sitting on Drobos, that it's to do with the difference between a hard link to a file and a symbolic link to the file, and Drobo seems to hate symbolic links.
Right, because I know I did see a couple of blog posts, there's some issues with other NAS devices, some other network attached storage devices, in that Lion has changed the networking slightly, and it's caused a few problems, not just for Drobo, for other people. But no, I think as far as I'm concerned, I think I've just got standard partition setup on there. I mean, what I'll probably do, because I don't want to mess about with it too much, is just move the Drobo to another machine that's on Snow Leopard and access the data from there. But that's the only really major stumbling block that I've found, to be honest with you.
I was going to say, NAS drives have been playing up a little bit as well from what I've seen in tweets. So, but generally, I mean, I've got to say, I'm tempted to try and install Lion on my work laptop. Just back everything up and go for it.
Yeah, well, I haven't found any Adobe real issues. There is an issue I found when you're on Wi-Fi, that if you close the lid and hibernate, when you reopen the lid, that you don't get any connection. It says you're connected with the Wi-Fi, but what you actually have to do is turn off the Wi-Fi and turn it back on again to get a reconnection.
Now, but I already get that problem. With my MiFi dongle. If I start my MiFi after I've started my MacBook, the MacBook doesn't find it. I have to switch off the AirPort and then switch it back on again, and then it automatically goes and gets it. It's a startup sequence issue. If I start up the MiFi and then open the laptop, then the laptop goes and finds it. It's really weird. There's no real consistency to it.
Well, this wasn't doing it 2 days ago, and it's doing it now, so... I would imagine it's a startup issue with Lion, obviously, but it's only if you start up from scratch, it's not a problem. But if you're actually unhibernating or whatever that's called, then you have an issue.
The chat room's gone into nostalgia mode. They're talking about 10-inch floppy disks, 5 1/4-inch floppy disks, 3.5-inch, 30-meg hard drives that were huge.
Well, I don't think they can hear or see us.
Yeah, that's why.
Ah,
well, I did write to you, but I didn't want to interrupt.
No, I've got the broadcast symbol in the top corner of Wirecast. Is flashing on and off, but it must be Ustream, because I've switched it off and switched it back on again, and nothing seems to happen. So I'm awfully sorry for that chat room. What about the cinema displays then? Anyone excited or going gooey over the cinema displays? Don, you're the richest of us. Come on.
You'd have to be, wouldn't you?
I'd certainly like one, I must admit. I mean, I've always wanted a decent hub for my notebook.
It's an expensive way of doing it.
Exactly, yeah. That's what I mean. I always thought they would come up with some really neat single cable solution that you could, you know, attach your Ethernet to and, you know, all your other devices. But they've finally come up with one, but it's like, you know, $1,000 and it's actually a 27-inch monitor. But it does look the business. It looks really nice. And especially having gigabit Ethernet for your MacBook Air with just your single Thunderbolt connector and FireWire as well. And there's lots of other connections on there. Daisy chain monitor. Monitors, you know, high resolution monitors off there, just all through a single cable.
Well, that's my point. I mean, this is where it really does start to become kind of almost a turn on. Is you know, the thought of taking six monitors and daisy chaining them together and having a six monitor setup running with a game on it or something like that. I mean, come on.
Flight
simulator with a six curved screens around you. I mean, that's porn right there.
You could probably buy a cheap plane for $6,000.
You probably could, that's true. I hadn't thought of that.
The other thing that's
probably safer. Sticker on the side.
The one thing I was going to mention about the Mac Minis.
Yep.
Because there's now obviously price drop on the Mac Mini, and big love to Apple for that, although it's come at the cost of the optical drive. It's like the Mac Mini server.
Is that a loss though, Andrew?
What, the optical drive?
Yeah.
No, really. No. But the Mac Mini server, previous, it's cheaper, sort of, again, than the old one was. But with the old one, you got a bundled copy of Snow Leopard server, which cost £450.
Yeah.
Now you get a bundled copy of Lion server, which costs £40.
Yes.
But the machine still costs the same. Can you spell profit margin?
I was really trying hard not to be cynical today.
No,
it comes too naturally to you.
It does, that's true.
I think Apple have decided they've just picked one hidden little thing to go like, yeah, let's just do this so that we can look ourselves in the business eye and say, yeah, we're still because after all.
Hey!
But going back to the Mac Mini, right, they've taken out the optical drive, and I suppose you're supposed to buy the... Oh, we're back. Well done.
Yeah, we're back.
I think we're supposed to buy the optical drive for the MacBook Air to replace the optical drive out of the Mac Mini. Because let's face it, most people think that you can only use Mac peripherals with Mac machines. So doesn't that therefore put the price back up over what the MacBook Air would have, not MacBook Air, the MacBook Mini would have been anyway? Because isn't the optical drive about 80 quid?
Yeah, optical drive is probably, well, it's 80 quid-ish to kind of retail, isn't it? So
yeah, so once you've added an optical drive to get back to where you were before you started, it's more expensive than it was last week.
Yeah, but I think you don't need it, do you? That's the point. I mean, I've got to say, I've got a Mac Mini down here with an optical drive in it. I burned a disc for a customer, and that's the only reason that I would have needed it. And I've actually got one somewhere. The reason I use the one in the Mac Mini is because I couldn't be bothered to find out the spare one. So,
yeah, but you've got to remember, most people that buy Mac Minis don't have about five of them or whatever you've got. Most people that have Mac Minis is because it's their first and only Mac. So therefore, you want to watch your DVD, you want to do this. You know, you're using it as your home hub entertainment computer or singing or dancing little box system. And I think for that reason, you're going to particularly want a DVD drive.
I think there's a serious point over the fact that if the optical drive is dying, then where are you going to start ripping your movies to your server? You know, legitimately, I'm not talking about stealing. And that's going to push people towards piracy because it's far easier to go and torrent it or newsgroup it than it is to actually do the legitimate thing, legitimate in inverted commas, and rip what you've currently got. £66 for the drive, says Paul in the chat room. Thank you.
That points you towards the Apple Store.
Yeah,
point you towards iTunes. You know that. Would have been great if they actually would have stuck a Blu-ray drive in it. Why not? You know.
But well, the interesting thing was we talked last night on the big show about how people consume media, and we had a chat room full of people who were working in IT, and you'd have thought there was going to be a high percentage there saying, "Oh no, I'm Apple TV. I stream movies, Netflix, Hulu." We got a cross section of UK and US people in the chat room, and 90% of the people there said, "I consume hard media. I take DVDs, I take Blu-rays." And that shocked me. That really shocked me.
Well, I've still got shelves full of books. Because as much as I can read it on a computer screen, an iPad or anything else, I want to pick up a book and read it. And it's also, I buy a book and it sits on my shelf for 3 years and then I read it. It's the same as a DVD. Something comes out, I go, I want that. That's part of my collection. It's a collector's mentality. And then
like Don does with Max.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I've got the same amount of Max as Don, but they're hanging in the cupboard by my front door. It's a different sort, I think. But I collect DVDs and I collect films or books or whatever because of one rainy Saturday night, I might get the bug to finally watch the third part of The Hobbit or something. It's not something that I want to sit down and decide what I want to watch. It's a different way of thinking. We don't always want to make a decision. I've made that decision and I'm going to watch it in 6 months' time.
See, the one thing I've got to say is, as a dyslexic, the electronic format for watching and reading books is far, far superior. Because I use a lot of audiobooks because it's a pain in the arse trying to read them. Me reading a book is painful. But also, I struggle with serif text over sans serif text. And it's the beauty of having an electronic reader is you can change the style of the text into Janet and John Book 4, effectively, to try and read it, which does me a power of good.
No, I agree. But, I mean, for instance, the Sherlock Holmes book I read, it's probably about 80 years old now.
Right.
And it smells like a Sherlock Holmes book should read. I get the full thing. I mean, I was watching some 1930s
smell that
Hitchcock.
Book.
Sorry?
Go on. Sorry, I'll say that.
Now, I was watching some 1930s Hitchcock the other day, and I was watching it on the Mac, and it was horrible. It was too clean. It was too clever. It wasn't 1930s Hitchcock. And I actually went and got the video off the shelf and I put it in because I got about a quarter of the way through and I watched the rest of it on video and I really enjoyed it for that fact. I mean, maybe I'm a dinosaur. I don't know. But there's a whole feeling towards watching and reading, not just the fact that it's there in front of you.
Note from the chat room. There's a very subtle difference, Alex, between collecting and hoarding. Do be careful. And MacBits in the chat room saying, love film, £9.99 for 6 DVDs or Blu-rays a month against £4.99 for single movies on iTunes. That's a big problem.
Kind of says it all. I mean, you know, I still love vinyl, but that's a collector's point of view. As far as Blu-ray and this thing is concerned about ripping it to the server, that's what I do. But it's nice to look over there on the shelf it's nice to know that I got a copy there and I don't have to call up Apple and say my hard drive gave out or I've got this or I got that. It's all, it is kind of, for me, it's like a backup. And I also like going through it and looking at artwork and all these kind of things. You just don't, you don't get that experience anymore with digital media.
Did you see the fake Apple store in Japan?
I'm not sure that the store is not fake because it's so good. I can't believe they've got away with that.
Is it Japan or China?
China. Sorry, China. My mistake. Sorry, Japan.
Yeah, it was Ewan's mistake, not anyone else's.
Yeah, no, it's in a Kunming in China, and it's it looks the business. It looks the business. Kunming in China. Stop it. The
you catch that?
It's with a K. They've got all the benches and everything. They've got all the stuff hanging up, and it's called the Apple Stro. To solve the problem, right, over someone who sells an Apple store.
Didn't somebody say that the guys who work there don't realize they're not actually working for Apple? Some of them was. There was a blog post to say that, you know, they think they're actually working for Apple because everything's so legit, but actually it's not.
Call me cynical a bit again, but thank you. I don't think changing those letters around is actually going to protect them. When they're at a point going, look, Apple Stro, when like there's a wall of lawyers, it's not going to work.
I mean, the staff wear exactly the same. I mean, if they can get away with that, then Samsung would have a real, real problem over the decisions that were made over them copying Apple's icons and things like that. But I mean, this is the thing, Apple supply these guys.
They're
selling genuine Apple stuff at recommended retail prices, right next to knockoff stuff. I mean, that's phenomenal. I mean, you could just imagine if that was working in Solihull High Street. You got the Apple store there, and then you got the Apple Stro next to it, and they got away with it.
Well, I used to watch a program with the kids, and they used to walk around with these very flash-looking laptops, and they used to have pears on the back. What's the difference?
Wasn't the pear the symbol of who did it? Was it the pear computing did a fake, didn't they?
Well, maybe I didn't get the joke then.
No, pear computing did a fake that ran OS 10.
Oh no, I don't think they were pretending to run anything. It's just they obviously didn't get permission to use the Apple brand on their computers for the storyline, so they had pears on the back of them.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, you know what? I mean, the fact that everything that goes into the Apple shops probably made and put together in China in the first place, I think it says a slight poetic justice.
I've got a friend who works in the golf industry, and he said that as soon as his company brings out a new set of irons and they send the patterns over to Japan to get them made, he said within a couple of weeks, he said they're being made illicitly and sold as brand irons, and they're not. And it's not the people that they've hired for the manufacturing. It's basically, you know, these things get made, someone steals a set of them from the factory, and that's it. They're off and running before they've even come out on sale in the shops. They've gotten cloned and copied, and they beat them out to the punch.
Well, that says something for the ingenuity of the Chinese.
It's going to be interesting what happens with this one. I mean, but having said that, the Steve Jobs doll was being manufactured and distributed by a Chinese firm over for sales, and that got taken down pretty swiftly. So,
probably because it didn't sell.
I wanted one. I did too.
I wanted one.
Is there anything else to talk about with Apple that's worth having? I don't want to talk about business figures and numbers and money in the bank, because that's just...
The installation thing, obviously the download, it was quite interesting installing an operating system straight from download, and it took bloody ages because the whole world wanted a copy for some reason, but I guess it'll speed up quite nicely. But it hasn't, you know, now that everyone's got it in their hands and everyone's got a recovery partition on their computer, which they can't see, this whole sort of getting a bootable copy of Lion so that you can install it on other machines or if you do a fresh install. obviously, it's relatively easy, but, you know, I still think from what Apple are doing, they've got it. It's not right. It's not right that it's not when you install Lion.
Yeah.
If you just run the installer, then the first thing it does when it boots up is delete the file you've just downloaded.
Exactly.
if you want to then make a backup copy, you've got to download it again, which it won't let you do because it's already installed. So you've got to hack your way around that or go to another Mac that hasn't got Lion installed. I just think it couldn't have been too difficult with a bit of script that the first thing that it does when it pops up the installer thing is say, do you want to make a physical media of this? And you click yes, and it just says insert USB stick or DVD, and it burns your copy, ejects the DVD, and then continues with the install. That would be clever. That would have been absolutely golden.
Don, you've got something to say there by the looks.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy enough to do because you can intercept the installation at just when the first Lion panel pops up with the continue button. If you just go into the applications folder and just copy it at that point and then move it, when it does delete the original, you've still got the copy that you can then use to create the flash drive or the bootable DVD. But no, Andrew's correct. It does seem a bit of an oversight, really, that they should include it as an option. You know, it would be so easy for them to do.
There's no instructions on how to do it either, though, is there?
No, there's not. No. There's not. But there's plenty of blog posts.
As soon as you've got, like, mum and dad or whatever sat there with their computer and they want to make a copy, and the first thing you say to them is, go and find the installer package and control click on it so that you can see the contents of the package. And they're like, eyes roll back up inside of their heads, and that's it. They're never going to be making a copy of that. And it could so easily have just been a click. I want a hard copy of it. Who knows? Bonkers.
Yeah. They're
selling a USB.
Cut down on the Hackintoshes.
I don't think it would be effective. I think it'd probably make it so easy. No issue. The other thing is that they are selling a USB pen, aren't they? There's a plan for it. It's $55. So it's,
yeah, but you used that word. You used the word selling.
Selling, yeah. $55, twice the price.
Exactly. And I suppose they're working on the principle that let's not make it too difficult to do it yourself, but let's not make it obvious, because we won't sell very many pens if we do make it too obvious.
No.
I mean, I was advised beforehand to download it on one machine and stop the installation and then take everything from there and move it onto another machine. So if anything goes wrong, I haven't messed anything up, which is exactly what I did. I downloaded it on one Mac, put it on a disk, and I've used that disk to do the other computers.
Yeah, I know. Well worth it.
I just was pre-warned. That was all. It just made, you know, it was one bit of advice and it worked perfectly.
Comments in the chat room, can't get File Vault to work. Keep getting the message, File Vault won't be enabled by the user admin. And also Steve in the chat room saying Launchpad is a turd rolled in glitter, and he's going to stick with Launch Bar.
I must say that in the last few days since I put Lion on the computer, I've been in an entirely Mac OS X experience. I have not looked at or used any of the iOS-y type bits at all. So it's, if you want to stick with OS X, it's great. You can ignore a lot of the stuff quite
fully. I think what they have done, though, with Lion, I've sort of noticed it more and more as I've used it, is it is pretty much optimized for laptops rather than sort of desktops, I feel. Especially with the, you know, large monitor displays. A lot of the applications, you know, when you run them in full screen mode, they're just too much. Although it does give you the distraction-free environment. But, you know, some of the applications run great, like GarageBand or anything like that looks brilliant on a full screen display. But if you get a word processor or something and then you put that in full screen mode, it's just too much on a large display. And also, if you've got a multi-display desktop setup, the second monitor, if you go into full screen mode, it just gets wasted because it can't actually display anything. So you have full screen on your main monitor, and then the secondary monitor, it's just blank, which seems a little bit of an oversight, really.
Some show linen, don't they, and some show just black.
Yeah.
I kind of wonder if I'm alone in this. Is it just me, or does this feel, this update is the one that I wouldn't say looking forward to, but it's the one that had the least impact on me. It didn't feel like 10.5. It didn't even feel like 10.6.
Well, 10.6 was no watershed either. That was all under the hood as well.
Well, true.
I mean, the interface was Stone Leopard.
That buzz feeling, like, ooh, Lion. I guess because it's how I'm installing it.
But I think, is that, I mean, feel free to answer this one, Don, because you'll have done both, whereas I haven't. In what Kyle's saying there, he's talking about the fact that he's using a desktop computer and not getting the full feeling that Lion is a big change, when actually the big change is coming if you're on a laptop or if you're using a trackpad. And if you're not using a trackpad, you're kind of wasting your time almost upgrading.
I wouldn't say you're wasting your time doing it, but you certainly would notice the most benefit on using a laptop, and especially the trackpad. It does really seem to be optimized. I mean, the launch pad thing is horrendous on my great monitor because it's just too big. It's just, you know, you've got this wall of icons, which just it's actually difficult to see them on my large monitor. But on a desktop, if you've got an 11-inch or a 13-inch MacBook Air, and then you've got Launchpad, it's great. You know, it's fine. And the full-screen apps, especially with the 11-inch MacBook Air, the full-screen mode is brilliant because it takes up every pixel on the screen is being utilized, and you can swipe between the different applications. Yeah, so it's a no-brainer. Well, I think it's a no-brainer if you're on the desktop as well, because there are other things under the hood that do give you some benefits. But I think... cosmetically, it's probably more apparent on a laptop than it is on the desktop, just how much has been built into Lion.
Has anyone spoken to anyone that's installed it on a MacBook that's got the old trackpad on it? Is that...
It works. So you just don't get all the gestures. So all the advanced gestures that you get with Lion won't be supported on those older machines.
Right. Okie doke. Jolly good.
Mm-hmm. I must say that the monochrome look in the sidebar is... Not happy with that. I mean,
yeah, I'd agree.
It's interesting how many visual cues you pick up from green icon for Time Machine, orange icon for external hard drive, home folder. You know, it's because it's in the corner of your eye. So much of it's done by color. Now you actually have to physically really concentrate and read the words on the sidebar. I think that's a bit of a UI snafu cock up thing.
Yeah, I'd also like to be able to, you know, the sidebar where you've got favorites and shared and devices. I'd like to be able to reorganize that back to the way it was. I mean, it's all my files and AirDrop and things. To be honest, I might get used to it, but at the moment, the whole thing's confusing me a bit.
Mm.
Maybe it's just me.
Actually, one thing I noticed, because I've done lots of installs this morning with creating today's show, is that did they drop the word Mac from OS X in the keynotes?
Yeah.
Well, it's still called Mac OS X plastered all over the installation screens. So
right.
I don't know if that's a marketing decision that they made for the keynote that hasn't filtered through to the actual product people yet. But it's still very much called Mac OS X, as far as I can see, on the installation process.
Excellent. Totally good. Right. have we got any cool thingies? Don, would you like to start us off?
Well, I'll tell you what. I suddenly realized halfway through that you were going to ask me for that. So what I will do is I will actually pick that reverse scroller thing, and I'll use that for my cool thingy.
You're going to have the reverse scroller. You can't buy it on its own.
No. The one if you're using Snow Leopard and you want to practice Lion, or you're switching between Snow Leopard and Lion machines. This is just a little menu bar utility that switches on reverse scrolling on a non-Lion machine.
Oh, what a good idea.
It's a freebie. It's a universal binary, and you can get it from blog.pilotmoon.com.
There's also an article, thanks to Fred in the chat room. Your dailymac.net has got how to enable reverse scrolling on Mac OS X Snow Leopard as an article. So,
right. I think that refers to the same utility as well. So, yeah. There you go.
Cool. Excellent. I might have to play with that. And that solves your problems, Alex.
I've got far more problems than that.
Okay. No, that requires chemicals. Kyle, have you got anything?
Yeah, it's probably my most expensive cool thingy yet. It'll be here probably next week, actually. Mac Mini, the new Mac Mini.
Ooh.
So that's your cool thing?
That's my cool thingy that should be here next week.
Because, you've ordered it.
I've ordered it. They dropped 7,000 pesos here in the Philippines at the store.
20 pence.
Yeah. And the only thing about it that I don't like, that it doesn't have an optical drive. I don't really care.
No.
I think they've went the right direction again. They've brought down the thing. They've sort of re-entered that market that I think people will say, okay, yeah, fine. I think it makes sense to get an Apple computer. The wife gets the old one here, and I'm getting a new one, hopefully next week.
Are you giving the wife the old one?
Giving the wife the old one. Just hey, like, by God, it has Lion on it.
Treat it just like Mrs. McAllister. Andrew, have you got a pick for us, mate?
Well, yes and no.
Oh, I'm not. Nice to see you shave for the show, mate. Thank you.
I know. Well, they won't get that on iTunes, obviously.
No.
So I'm looking actually quite suave. I haven't been well all week.
Oh, it was all the bloody beer you drank on Monday, mate.
What beer? I had three. I was completely undrunk it did. What I did do is I had a very strange chicken burrito in Victoria Coach Station at bloody 11:30 at night.
Mate, chicken burritos, last thing at night from a street vendor, come on.
It was a strange Lithuanian man.
Oh, even worse.
At least the rat population has gone down around there.
That's got the Cirencester two-step written all over it, mate.
What? Do what? There was no way I was getting too beard up on Monday because I'm not going to sit on a National Express bus with a spinning head.
And a twitchy arse.
That would have, well, I did that anyway, but yeah.
Dr. Curry Mac.
Do you want this cool thingy or not?
Oh, come on, yes. Man. Come on, then.
Oh, bollocks, I haven't got one. No, I think my cool thingy, I'm going to cheat as much as Kyle's just cheated, and I'm going to say my cool thing of the week is Lion.
Oh, what?
Because the reason that I was kind of tongue-in-cheeky saying August was that it was like the developer copy was so broken. And I always thought this is going to be a disaster, but it's not. Just for pulling it out of the bag and making it all work.
Yeah, I've got to say, I was quite cynical and thinking and fearing the worst. And I've got to say, I think I'll probably upgrade this afternoon because it does look like it's the compatibility issues are almost negligible.
Almost.
Famous last words, yeah.
Yeah, can you wait till after the photo show?
Watch my Twitter stream about 7 o'clock tonight.
Oh, no.
And you'll find out whether that's utter bollocks or not. Alex, we jumped on you a bit late, mate, so I feel, you know what?
In a funny way, there's a couple of cool fingers, and they are sort of Lion-based. And it's purely the fact that Lion hasn't broken anything significant. I mean, I know that's not really a cool thing, but the fact that I was really...
Do you know what? I'm going to pick this because it's not crap.
Well, I put it on the computer that I thought, you know what? If this doesn't work, then I'll just time machine it back and I'll wait 6 months. It really doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
But this is usable. It's fun. And even the little things like growl just to annoy Will, you know, things like growl, they work and they're always the things that don't work.
Right.
And they do. So there's two things to say. Lion is very good in that respect, and maybe it's not as big an upgrade that we've been led to believe because it hasn't broken enough.
I'm going to pick exactly the same thing as I picked last night on the big show, and the reason being it is that good, and it's the Sky Go Player Go app. That is real-time television from Sky. On my iPad, over Wi-Fi, while I'm running 5 screens here, plus transmitting to Ustream. It is slick as snot. It is very, very definable. I wouldn't say high definition, but you can zoom it up to full screen, and that is the cricket. As we stand at the moment, it is 230 for 3.
That's right.
Yeah. And he's about to bowl, on the real television feed as well. No, but I mean that is about half a second behind the live TV coverage off Sky. There you go.
Well done,
Sky Go.
You're going to be sued.
It's free, and
if you pay £50 a month,
it works with all your Android devices. It works with your Mac. It works with your PC. It works with your iPhone, and it's a free application. All you've got to have is a Sky box, and that's it. You're away
and live in the UK.
Well, if you've got a Sky account here in the UK, there wouldn't be anything stopping you because, as far as I'm aware, it's not looking like it's proxy-based.
Oh, really? That's even sweeter.
If you've got a Sky account, I don't see why you can't access it because it's just an open... You enable it through open web access, so I'm pretty sure it's probably not looking for a proxy.
That's sweet. I don't have a Sky account, though, so enjoy.
Ah, well, tough. Right, the last word goes to our sponsors, UK2.net. We love them. They are fantastic. And Don, have you got a bit of an announcement, mate?
Yes, well, the funny thing is, after you raving about them so much, I made some inquiries, and you nicely put me in touch with one of the guys over there, and I've been using a dedicated server over in the States for a couple of years, and it was getting along a bit long in the tooth.
Mm.
So they've provided me with a new dedicated server over here. We just did the first migration yesterday, and it's going like stonking. It's absolutely fantastic. Very, very fast. I've put the main website and the forums on there now. And the speed is incredible. Also, my sort of e-commerce system and the membership system's on there now as well, and it's just absolutely blindingly fast. So extremely pleased. The migration went very well. As I say, we're still in the midst of some of the things to come across, but it went very, very seamlessly, hardly any downtime at all. So well impressed.
We love UK2. They look after us, and they really do look after us, and nothing falls over. We don't lose any server time at all. We've had no real issues. If we've had odd things pop up, raise a ticket and it's done in a few minutes. We get a reply very quickly. They're a great service and they're great friends to this network, and they're obviously now great friends to Don as well. It won't be long before his content's on there. You watch. If you want to use them, they're brilliant. Please, 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 though, bear in mind that if you want to support UK2.net, you need to you want to support Bagel Tech by supporting them, there's a route you need to follow. Please go to our website first, bageltechnews.com, then scroll down to the bottom of the page. You'll see the UK2 logo there. Click on that, and that'll track you when you go on their site. So it'll know where you go on the site and that you came from Bagel Tech, and it'll keep you associated with them. Whatever you buy, then it will also know that you've come through us, and it'll know about that. And then when you get to the end, here's the best bit, you go to the code, there's a coupon code box there that's available to you. You type in Bagel Tech, all one word, and you will get 15% off whatever's in your cart at that point. Point to mention here, I had another call this week from them. There are still lots of you who are using the click through from the Bagel Tech website, getting to checkout and not putting in the offer code. Lots of you. We're not talking a small amount here. There's hundreds of pounds worth of business that is going the way of UK2, and you're not getting your voucher used. Please, please, please remember to use it. The whole point of setting it up with them was so that you guys got something back as well as. So please remember to use a voucher code. And James on the big show last night migrated all of his stuff over. And when I said that on the big show last night, he went, I didn't do that either. So it's not just, it's even us too. There is another thing as well. If you get a charge that you're not expecting, I can't say any more than that, but if you get a charge that you weren't expecting, fear not, because that charge is going to disappear at some point soon. But if you talk to me, I'll tell you how to ensure that that charge goes away. All right. So after you purchase, give me a call or a tweet or something like that, and I'll talk you through what to do to sort that out. It's very, very simple, and they've promised that they're okay with doing it. So just give me a call. But that's as much as I can say, I'm afraid. Where can we get a hold of you then, Don?
On my shiny new server over at screencastonline.com or on Twitter at Don McAllister.
Remembering, of course, that if you use the offer code BagelTech on Don's site, you get 50% off too.
Indeed.
And it's worth having. If you're a Mac user, you've got to have Screencasts Online.
Yeah, if you, this week's show, if I get it edited this afternoon and posted, you'll be able to see how to create a flash drive, because I'm going to do that as part of the installation show today.
I might wait a bit then. Maybe tomorrow. Kyle, where can we get hold of you?
KyleSwagger.com is the place.
Not on a Mac, though. Over there.
Not at the moment, no.
No, it's still churning away.
Actually, what's funny about this is the wife's old Windows machine. So I stole that from her so I could have a machine in here to actually broadcast with.
Do you know what? We treat our women terribly when it comes to technology. The wife's got my old MacBook.
I'm not saying a thing, because she let me get a Mac this week, and by God, dude, I'll have it paid off by next year.
There is no end of house cleaning chores and gardening that you're going to have to fulfill.
All worth it. It's all worth it.
One thing I meant to ask, just quickly, yay or nay, is it better to make the disk and do a fresh install, or is it better to let it upgrade? Or is it no difference at all?
Personally, I think just an upgrade in place is fine. It works perfectly, very few problems. I mean, some people do like to either do a fresh install if they want to just start again from scratch, but it's so time-consuming. Even though we've now got the Mac App Store, you know, all your applications still are on there, so it's so time-consuming. And even sort of doing a fresh install and then, you know, bringing it across using the migration assistant, I think the upgrade is fine, so I'd stick with that.
Well, it all depends if you bought Photoshop Elements from the Mac store or not, really, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, it's
he's winding me up. He's just winding me up. He's got a message from Clayton that says, wine ranking up. Get. Andrew, where can we get a hold of you?
On Twitter, at Dr. Happy Mac. Nothing, because it's Twitter.
And how's our favourite how's our favourite company that let you do the podcast on a Friday while still working for them?
They're excellent.
Give them a plug. Give them a plug.
Freeman Christie.
In the middle of?
In the middle of Burford. Lovely. They're going to be moving from their temporary office where I am at the moment to their brand, sort of spankingly refurbished, oldie worldy style office sometime next month. So
excellent.
I know that a couple of them listen to the show, so I'm not charging you for this hour. I'm not charging you for this hour.
Oh, mate, we should. the amount of plugging you've given them.
Oh,
Freeman yeah. Christie. Do you want to sponsor the video walls, Freeman Christie? Come on, we can get you loads of business, honest.
I'll pass.
What do they do?
They might do.
But what do they do? What do they do? Design agency.
Design marketing agency, yeah.
Yeah. Perfect. And they can help us as well in return.
Yeah.
That'd be great. Tell them to give me a call.
Yes, I will. I'll email them. And when I see them on Tuesday, I'll mention it.
Dude, you sat in their offices. What the hell are you emailing them for?
There's no one here. I'm the only person here.
Oh, right. Okay.
So he's robbing
them.
Yeah, I don't need to buy a new Mac.
I don't need sponsorship. Just pick a Mac up on the way out.
Yeah, there's a couple of iMacs. They'll do, won't they?
They'll do fine. Yeah, great. Thank you very much. I'll cheers. Freeman Christie, we love you.
Quickly, I do have a cool thing, and I remembered I was going to say it, and it's a website, and it's brilliant. So it's called Springfield Punks with an X. So Springfield, as in Simpsons, Punks, P-U-N-X. And it's this guy, and he does drawings of famous people and characters in the style of The Simpsons, except that he's better than The Simpsons artist. It's brilliant. He does a whole load of Doctor Who ones, and it's just absolutely awesome.
Oh, I've seen those, yeah.
Yeah, he's just brilliant. Springfield Punks.
.blogspot.com.
That's the one, because he's on Blogger for some reason. He's still the only person left on Blogger.
Very, very good.
Got all the bandwidth.
Does he do them for you if you send a picture of someone?
He does. If you can send him a not like a people request, can you do a thing? Can you do a picture of so and so? And he then they get popped up on the website. He's sci-fi, science fiction. He's doing a couple of Big Bang Theory ones at the moment, and he's done lots of Doctor Who, lots of Marvel Comics ones.
Morphin Power Rangers, Iron Man's on there as well. Yeah. Batman, Joker, Captain America.
The Doctor Who ones are just
Venom.
Stunning.
Very good. Very good. He's got sports stars, the whole thing. Good pick. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And last but by no means least, Alex.
Alex, okay, you can get me at Alex G. Fox, or you can get me at alexgfox@twitterything.com.
What have you done with twitterything.com? Is there anything on there?
There's a thing that says twitterything.com. Some of us have got to work, and I've got an email address. I will do something with it. I have no idea what. That's the point. If anyone's got any ideas what to do with a website called twitterything.com, do let me know.
It's all you've got on here is twitterything.com. It's always worth a go.
Exactly.
But there's nothing else on it, so what's always worth a go?
See, that's the thing. I'm waiting for Will to let me know.
You may be waiting a while then, mate.
Yeah. No, send in some ideas. It will be quite interesting to know what I should actually do with all this rubbish.
Special wishes goes to Mrs. Green, who has to put up with Will Green at all, and while she's sick too, so please get better soon. You'll need all your strength. And Will be back next week after sacrificing a goat and doing some druid chanting. So he should all back with normal. And I'm going to go over and see him one day next week and drink some beer, so anything could happen. I think we're talking about starting the first screen costs online. That may come out next week. Thanks for listening. Have a good weekend, and we'll see you next week. Au revoir.
Bye.